Okay, Rav Yossi. The next Mishnah on Daf Yudamid Beis says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Botkin or Yudalud of Yudal Shachis Uvishas Habir, right? The Orlar Basar, we already know. The Gemara, as we see, we'll have 2 days about this. Nahabamin means you have to do 3 Bedikos, early Yudalud in the morning and Shas Habir. In the end, it just means early Yudalud, and if not, Yudal Shachas, if not Shasabir, but not after that, not subsequent to that, because Rabbi Yehuda makes a gzera that you can't do Bedika after the Isser has already started, because you might eat it when you find it accidentally. Here, there's a bit of Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi, and Rabbi David, and the Ran, and most Rishonim understand that Shasabir, and Tosas also understands that that Shas Habir means the sixth hour, the last opportunity for according to Rabbi Yehuda, is the sixth hour. The Rebbeinu Hananel here and the Baal Hamor, and the Maror Cholov explains them, says that Shas Habir means the fifth hour. Okay, they're arguing about Rabbi Yehuda's Gzeira, that we'll see when we get to the Gemara, when he says you can only do Bedikah while Chametz is Mutter. Once Chametz is Usser, he makes a Gzeira, that Shema Yavo La'achlo, and you're not allowed to do Bedika. Does he only make the Gzera when there's an Issa Daraisa? That would be Rashi and Tosos, and Rebbeinu David and the Ran, and most Rishonim. And therefore, in the sixth hour, you still do Bedika, because there's no Issa Daraisa. Or Rebbeinu Hananel, the Baal Hamor, and Maram Chalava, he even makes the Gzera when there's an Issa Darabanan for Achila, which is the fifth hour, according to him, and therefore, which is the sixth hour, and therefore, the last chance to do Bedika is the fifth hour. Okay, we'll focus more on the Chachamim. V'chomerim lo badak or l'arbasar yivdok b'yadalad, lo badak b'yadalad yivdok b'socha moed, lo badak b'socha moed, yivdok l'achra moed. So there are 4 opportunities, or l'arbasar, arbasar moed, and achra moed. Amash Mishayi, and Chinevitzin, Kadosh Lishar, B'dika achra, we already analyzed that in the context of the previous Mishnah. So here we have a famous machlokes Rishonim. What do we mean by the Socha Moed and Achra Moed? Obviously, the simple shot of the Gemara is the Shita of most Rishonim, of Tosos here, that Moed means Moed. We all know what a Moed is. Moed means during Yontif. That's what Tosos says here. That's what the Rish says here. That's what the Rambam says in Birish Mishnayos here. That's what almost all the Rishonim say. And Achra Moed means after Yontif. Right? So here we have Socha Moed and Achar HaMoed, so Tosfos and the Rif, and almost all Rishonim say Pesach and after Pesach. Okay, that's so obvious that if no one argued, you wouldn't even consider it significant. Okay, the slight difference, where do you put the afternoon of Yodalit? Is that part of Yodalit or is that part of Tosh HaMoed? The Rif and the Rambam, I think the simple shot is that early Yodala means the night. Yodala means the whole day. Moed means the 7 days of Pesach. And Achra Moed means afterwards. Tosos, somewhat strangely says, Besocha Moed haini mitzchila sheva ad sofa Pesach. He puts from the beginning of the seventh hour into the Moed and not into Yodalad. I don't think it makes much of a lundish difference for the purposes of our sugya. Maybe that ties into a discussion we had a very, very long time ago about the nature of Erev Pesach afternoon. To what extent is it part of the Moed, or is it not? So here we have one, you know, slight difference, right, which you might be arguing about, you know, how much of a status do you give to Erev Pesach afternoon? Is it mamish part of the Moed, or is it just part of your Dalet? Could be linguistic, but in terms of Erev Pesach, Achar Chatzos, Tosos views it as part of the Moed, and the Rif and the Rambam.
Rabbi, maybe Tosfos thinks you overvalue Erev Matzah on Erev Pesach, and that's why he's so.
And on when all your life Matzah starts, that's definitely possible. So Pesach, let's say, and according to Tosfos, Me Sha'ash Vias. As part of the Moed, and again, that ties into a discussion we had much earlier. Do you view it as part of the Moed or not? Right, this would go together with the Grah, etc., and the Ramah that we pointed out. But we're going to leave that for now. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says something a little peculiar. Says Rashi, "Soha moed b'shoshi sheshu moed habir." La'akra moed mishesho sulamala ad shet tesha. Says Rashi, "Toha moed is shishes, and akra moed is mishesho sulamala." Okay, this Rashi is a little dochuk for a few reasons. A, moed usually means the moed. I know, technically, moed can mean the time of anything. You can call anything the moed. But we know what the word moed means. And A, the word moed usually doesn't mean this. And B, something else means this. Right, as Tosafot points out, that's called shasabir. At least according to most Rishonim, it's called shasabir for Yehuda. So why didn't they say shasabir if that's what they meant? Okay, nonetheless, right, some of the Rishonim explained why Yehuda calls it shasabir, it's the last chance for beer. The Chum only call it moed, because it's a good opportunity. It's a normal opportunity for beer, but not your last chance, meaning for Ika. But in any case, Rashi is clearly dochuk. This is clearly the pshat of the Mishnah, and this is clearly a dochuk pshat in the Mishnah. No one's going to say it's pshat pshat, that moed means shashishas.
Could we say he's not the Raskana of the Zara, the Rashi pshat, and he's not the Raskana? But the fact that it seems that the conclusion of the Gemara is the full man Gemara that the Dika that the Mishnah is talking about is only before.
Where do you see then the conclusion of something?
It seems like that's what at the very end of the Gemara, when after the Havamina is that they're not talking about the amount of time that needs they need to do Dika, the Gemara switches the dialogue. It's not about the Machlokit, it's about when. Do you need to do what do you need to do the last? Is Rabbi Yehuda goes there about showing about the Ochlo into Chavadika or the Chavam not? So the Chavam Ari goes there. So it seems that both for Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, there wouldn't be a necessary Chavadika as a function of Bar Rabbi Matzai, or at least for Rashi, after that point. Because for Chavim, but not goes there up until Chag itself. But I would think once Chag itself starts, that they would have.
Okay, so hold that thought for a moment. So before we get into the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, let's just point out, this is something Noah was hinting at, that there are two versions of Rashi. Sheisho Sulamala, until when? So what is Rashi? Here, Ajatasha. Rashi, however, Rashi Menachos does not say Achitashach. Rashi Menachos, one second, let me print it out here someplace, says, because the same sugya appears in Tzach Menachos, this whole discussion, because we're comparing it to Chodesh, which is the topic of the Gemara there, Menachos. He says, Moed is Sheish, same thing. You have the Achrabo, Besocha Pesach Atzmo. Socha Pesach Atzmo, right? Meaning, he doesn't say after Pesach, and that is the same, but Ad Mechorit until the end of Pesach, right? Mechorit until the end of Pesach, right? Ad Socha Chag. That's it. Socha Pesach. He obviously also means the afternoon of Erev Pesach. He doesn't mean you do it in Shashishis or only after nightfall. Obviously, you can do it in the afternoon also. But he needs to say until the end of the Chag. The Rabbi David, somewhat strangely here, Rabbi David, when he quotes Rashi in our Sugya, let me just open the Rabbi David, he says that, what did Rashi say? Rashi says, Toch Moed means the sixth hour, until the seventh hour, and Achra Moed means after Shoshishis V'chol HaPesach B'chlal, including all Pesach, meaning he quotes Rashi here as saying Rashi has a Menachos. It could be that either you had a different gears on Rashi, which I think is less likely, or maybe he just understood that Rashi was Lavdavka. Rashi Achetechshach, he meant Achetechshach, and afterwards. So it could be that Rabbi David interpreted Rashi that Achetechshach is Lavdavka.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, and obviously, obviously, you know, whatever you can. Okay, or it could be at a different Gersa. That's interesting. So I saw in some of the poskim wrote that everyone agrees you shouldn't do bedika on Yantif, because on Yantif, what good would it do to do bedika? Because it's mukta anyway, although that ties into the question we had. Remember on Daf, you know, on Daf Hey, on Daf Dalet, and Daf Hey. What? Yeah, he says v'chola pesach b'chlal, interestingly. But then he says, does he discuss Yontif? Yeah, I don't know if David discussed on Yontif. Maybe he did. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because you could say there's no point doing bedika on Yontif, or you could say, A, you're allowed to destroy it on Yontif. Right, that was a machlokes for sure we saw. Or B, maybe if you're not allowed, even if you're not allowed to destroy it, you're full of clay. So I could see it going either way. Anyway, Lamais and the Svara, before we get to the main machlokes for Rashi and Tosos, the Svara.
Rabbi, does Rashi hold, Rabbi? Does Rashi hold that Al Chametz Yadua, you're not over Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh, right? So therefore, isn't that Rashi on that side of the fence? So doing the Bedika on Yantip would be counterproductive, because until then you weren't over Bal Yireh Bal Yimatzeh.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good hammer. I'm a cop. In any case, it's obviously Michli Svara to say that you should do Bedika through the whole Pesach, because if Rashi in the beginning of the sentence is the biggest reward value, by your Rabbi Yimatzeh, by your Rabbi Yimatzeh clearly twice for 7 days, says the portion of Chumash. So if it's in the middle of Pesach, you should do Bedika to avoid continuing to violate by your Rabbi Yimatzeh. That would make sense. What's the Svara of this Rashi? If you assume that he needs a Dafka, which is the Pashim Shakur Rashi, right? Why would he say to only do Bedika until Yantif starts and not do Bedika during Yantif? After all, if Rashi on the basis of Bedika to avoid by Rabbi Yimatzeh, then you should do Bedika during Yantif, because just because you violated Rabbi Yimatzeh for 5 days doesn't mean you should violate it for another 2 days or whatever the combination is. So what's the end?
What is it? But I mean, also, I don't think that you're talking about this, but if you could look at Rashi and Tucker, you could say that just since he's bothered and he can't do Bedika for Chametz after Pesach, he then has to reinterpret what Moe means, and that Moe means Shas Abir, so he's not arguing on a dig, he's just arguing just since Moe can't make Pesach, now Moe needs to make Shas Abir, so therefore, it's before Shas Abir, after Shas Abir.
Right, but then I think you're going to end up saying Labdavka, probably.
Sure.
The Ron gives a star for this. I can't think of a better star. Meaning, Rashi seems to be Dafka. Maybe the Ron star is right, but it makes a big chiddush. There's a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. I know we told you what it says later in the Gemara, but I think we looked at the Gemara already. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say not to do Bedika after, either according to most of you showed him, from noon and on, or according to the Rabbi Yehuda and Balamor, from the sixth hour and on? Because he goes there, you might eat it. And the Chacham art goes there, you might eat it. But we see that this whole idea of whether you're gozer or not, I think Mara points out, there's a lot of subtle factors that come to account when Chazal are gozer and when they're not gozer. So says the Ran, the Hezbollah Rashi, is that it's not the Chacham word gozer at all. It's not that they totally disagreed with Yehuda. It's that they weren't gozer on a regular Isser Lav. Or, you know, whatever exactly the status of Chametz Ner Pesach is, Isser Lav, Isser Seder in the U.S., but since Pesach is a kares, even the Chachamim within the Nisar kares, you make Xerah Shem Yav Lachlo. And therefore, there's no point to Bedika on Yantif. That's what says that's Chachamim Modim Le Rabbi Yehuda. The Nisar kares, Sheyesh Ligzar Shema Yav Lachlo. Okay, so that's probably shot in Rashi here. Okay, but let's go back to the correct. Correct. It becomes an even more fascinating psychological machlokas if it's been a katzel or katze. I agree. Okay, let's get back to the question Tosafot. Why would Rashi give a weird shot in the Mishnah? Again, Tosfos and all the other Rishonim, almost everyone agrees with Tosfos. Who agrees with Rashi? The Meiri says v'chein ikar about Rashi, although then later on he says, and you could say the other way, so he's a little bent, but he doesn't v'chein ikar of Rashi. And the Sefer Amanik, he doesn't quote any Rashi, but he quotes Rashi, so Rashi and the Meiri, although I would say the Meiri with hesitation, with going back and forth, and the Sefer Amanik. It's a halacha book from the Ra'avon Hayarchi, right? Luna, one of the Chachmei Provence. So, well, why would Rashi Udime give such a weird shot in the Mishnah? Does he say? Yeah, he's clearly with Rashi Menachos. But again, he's not quoting Rashi at all. You know, he's just saying on his own. I think he had a copy of Rashi. I just, you know, he doesn't attribute it to Rashi. The Meiri attributes it to Rashi. He says, Dole Rabbani, which is his nickname for Rashi. Anyway, what's pshat? Why would you give such a weird shot in the Mishnah? So Noah suggested an answer that only works for Rashi here and not Rashi in Menachos. Noah said, maybe Rashi was very committed to the idea that the Chamar Mode, that they make Xerah by Yisr Kares, that you're not allowed to search since you might need it. In which case, you can't be Mode Ganyantif. Meaning, Noah says, the reason Rashi rejected Tosfos' shot is because you can't be Mode Ganyantif. Because he was so committed to this idea. That's possible. So that's one derech. I haven't seen anyone say that before, but that's not a... So, one derech is
either awkward or you want to see.
Exactly. Says Noah, the objection was to Tocha Moed. Like the Ran's explanation. Okay, that's not what Tosos assumes. Tosos assumes that, no, the objection was to Achar Moed. Tosfos doesn't say, he doesn't get into this question of Rashi Mitzachim, Rashi Menachos, etc. Tosfos says the objection is to Achar Moed. Rashi could not brook the idea, could not handle, cannot accept the concept that there's a B'dika Achar Moed. Why could Rashi not accept the concept of B'dika Achar Moed? Mentioned this the first year of the year. The Shitasi Beza Ben Aleph, Rashi said, the reason because Chametz is Shem and Shemu Yavro Lo Vayur Lo Yimatze, Tosos and most Rishonim said, the reason is Shem Yavro Lo Achlom. So Tosos says, this is me and Rashi, awesome Rashi, the Shitasenu, Rashi says, Vayur Lo Yimatze, there's no Shaykhus of Dika after the Moed, because there's no Vayur Lo Yimatze. I say, it's Shem Yavro Lo Achlom, there is Shaykhus of Dika after the Moed, Shem Yavro Lo Achlom, because it's still also to eat after the moment, because coming to the Lord Pesach is also to eat. That's probably the push of shot, just because, you know, once you have Rashi and Abdi's, it sort of is true that he can't accept Achar Moed, because there's no Bayi Rabbi Matzah. I mean, probably. You know, you can add a Bedochak, objection to Achar Moed, and it's Lashitase, the Ta'am, the Dikas Chametz. Mishon ba'yirah ba'yimatzei, v'lo shayach achar ha'moed. Okay, that's probably Pasuk Shana Rashi. However, this is Tosfos Pshat based on Rashi l'shitase. However, the Sefer Amanhig has a different reason. What's the reason for the Sefer Amanhig? The Sefer Amanhig's reason is not because of Bayi Rabbah, you must say that no Bayi Rabbah is Achar Moed. He also says the objection is to Achar Moed. Remember, he's not saying Shana Rashi, he's saying his own Shita. But why does he object to Achar Moed? Not because of Bayi Rabbah, you must say, but because we paskin like from Shimon, because there's not even a Shema Yavel Achlo, right? Because there's no Shema Yavo L'Achlo after Pesach. Why is there no Shema Yom Halacha after Pesach? Because there's a machlokas, and we heard Rav Shimon in the second parak. Rav Yehuda Darshan says three times don't eat chametz. One, there's an Isser Lav Doraisi eat chametz on Erev Pesach. Two, there's an Isser Lav and Karius eat chametz on Pesach. And three, there's an Isser Lav to eat chametz over a lot of Pesach. Rav Shimon disagrees. Right, Rabbi Shimon says, no, he darshes other things. If you want to look at that sugya, it tells you what he darshes each pasuk. He says there's no Isser Lav to come into every piece of afternoon. If you recall, we saw Machlokas Rishonim, whether there's an Isser Asay or an Isser Rabbanan or a Heter. There's, of course, still an Isser Lav encouraged to come during Pesach, and there's no Isser Lav to come after Pesach. If there's no Isser Lav to come after Pesach, that means Heter Gomer. What about the Mishnah that says, Chametz or Gonsha, Allah Pesach is Lotter and Chametz? Jewish Shabbat Pesach is Aser. So in the end, the Gemara's Maskana seems to be that Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says there's no Isser Daraisa of coming after Pesach, but there is an Isser. There is an Isser Drabbanan of coming after Pesach. There's an Isser Drabbanan of coming after Pesach because the Gemara says a Knas because you're over by Rabbi Matze, and we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. It's very clear. The Gemara's Maskana in the second parak on Daf Lamed and Aleph, Rava says, is that we pass the Rav Shimon that there's no Isser Daraisa from Pesach to Pesach. It is only a Knas, and that's why he told Rav Nachman, I think, told them all after Pesach, you can go and get the chametz of the soldiers. Not exactly clear what it means, but at least one shot is chametz of the goyim, because if the goyim can finally buy Yoli Motze, therefore the Knas does not apply to them. And Chomer Shavuot Pesach is mutter as long as no one violated by Rabbi Yimatzi. Now, give me a second. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. Forgetting about the fact we pass like Rabbi Shimon, L'chor the Chachamim and our Mishnah have to go with Rabbi Shimon because the Chachamim and our Mishnah are the Bar Pluktas of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Chachamim and our Mishnah are the ones who are not Rabbi Yehuda. The ones who are not Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So, if we hold like Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, L'chor the Chachamim and our Mishnah are Rabbi Shimon. Because they're against Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, says the Sefer Manhig, truth is, you could have said two things. He says there's no Shema Yom Halacha after Pesach because it's not Aser. The Chametz is not Aser after Pesach. Why? Because the Knas is if you're over in Bal Yom Yatsi. And here you weren't over a Bal Yimatze because lo chazi levi lo yadale. Right? You didn't know about it. He doesn't say exactly why that means you didn't over all your Yimatze. If you remember, according to Tosos, in the second parak, if you didn't know about the Chametz, it's not an Isser Bal Yimatze at all. But according to everyone, it's clearly not an Isser Bezid Bal Yimatze because it's not Aser at all, because didn't knowingly violate by your Rabbi Yimatze, so why should there be a knas? Okay, you could have said something a little different. What could you have said? Similar to this, that even if there is an Isser Achila after Pesach as a knas, that is a very is an Isser Kal. It's only Isser Drabanan. Remember, according to it's only Isser Drabanan. And who said that we make Xavier the Bedika? Remember, Tosfos in the Sefer that to work so hard to figure out why are they making Xavier? You have to search for coming lest you come to eat. Not searching. Searching lest. After all, we don't have to search for wine for another, we don't have to search for trade, we don't have to search for this and for that, etc. The answer is very tough. So you also could have said, you could say, even if it is Aser, it's an Ether Kal, it's just a Knas, the Alma. Not even a Xer, it's just a Knas. And just to avoid eating this or cow. See? bedikas. If there's an isser chomer, you have to bedikas. So you don't accidentally cast for shalom. Chometz on Pesach, there's a chomer. But an isser kal of just a knas bialma, why do you have to do bedika lest you, you know, just eat an isser that's very kal, that's only a knas, that's only a mere knas? That's not what the Mani says, not also in the first place. I'm just adding, even if it is usser, who says Chazal should make a gzeri? You have to search and destroy it lest you come to eat it. Okay, so we have three reasons why Rashi and Udi'imei might have given this dochum shot in the Mishnah. Clearly, the reason is not because they thought there's a simple shot in the Mishnah. That's ridiculous. They had pressure. What was the pressure? Noah says maybe the pressure was for Rashi is here at Chiteshach. He couldn't brook the idea of the Dika Betocha Moed because of the reverse Shem. Most Rishonim assume that his problem was with Achra Moed. He couldn't accept the Dika Achra Moed. Why not? Says Tosos. Says the Sefer Manig, because even if it's Shem Yavol Achlo, he doesn't say the words even if Shem Yavol Achlo. I'm adding that. There's no Isser Achila after the Moed, because the Isser is only Knas, and the Knas is only if he did it knowingly. And here, he didn't do it knowingly, so therefore there's no need for a Knas. What I'm adding to the Sefer Manig, as in even if you say there is a Knas, because you want to be very machmir and say the Knas applies even to someone who violated the Isser unknowingly, but why should there be a takana of bidika to avoid accidentally eating this if it would only be a very, very light isser to eat it in the first place? It's only a knas. There are many reasons we could justify Rashi. Now, are you doing the question? Okay. Now the question is just why does everyone else disagree? Right? Why do the other Rishonim disagree? So here it's pretty easy, right? They deny the Ran's chiddush, right? The Ran made a chiddush that even the Chachamim admit you shouldn't be golden during Pesach because you might eat a toch de medika. That's a big chiddush. We never find in the Gemara, in the Sugya here, the Rabban or Moda, that we're afraid you'll eat a toch de medika. They just deny the Ran's chiddush, right? Or even if you accept the Ran's chiddush, see, it's not obvious enough that it's worth, you know, even if you accept it's an interesting idea, it's an interesting idea. But you're not going to interpret the Mishnah based on that Kiddush. Why do they like this idea? That's obvious. The Shitasam of Rov Rishonim, the Takanas Bdika, Mishnah Chash Achila, and not by Rabbi Yotze. Remember, most Rishonim disagree with the disagree with Rashi and say it's not because of Bar Rabbi Yotze, it's because of Shem Yavalach. Theoretically, Medochak, you could say, even this to the volume of Rabbi Matzah, once they were attacking it, they left the Tekon in place. But it's easier to say, most Rishonim just disagree. Why do most Rishonim think, again, we possibly agree Shimon. Together we Paskin, we're in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't know how the Amorim Paskin, but it is where Shimon in the Mishnah, because it's the Chachamim Dir Rabbi Yehuda, right? Technically, say it's Chachamim Dir Rabbi Yehuda, means Chachamim. Why would you have a chibadika achra moed? A, it shouldn't be usher in the first place. B, even if it is usher in the first place, it's a very, very light usher, and they shouldn't be metakin a whole bedika just to avoid violating such a small, tiny usher. And that's what the Rishonim here deal with. Tosos is not concerned about this, right? Tosos is only concerned about this issue. But the other Rishonim are concerned about this, you know, regardless of what Rashi's reason is, they know it's a good svara. The other Rishonim, no, they don't have this copy of Sefer Mani. And they don't think that this is Rashi's reason. They know it's a good svara, right? They know we're interpreting the Mishnah of Pshuto. There's a bedika during Sfiras Omer. There's a bedika today, right? If you forgot to bedika, someone has shalom, they're in a hospital, and they just got released today, and they get home, where they forgot. And they have to bedika today, even almost a week after Pesach. But why? Whatever comes at home isn't usher, and even if it is usher, it's not such a serious issue that Chazal should make you treat yourself. So, how do we answer these questions? How do you answer this question? After all, it shouldn't be usher anyway because you didn't violate by real value matzah. What's the answer? Of course you did. Yeah. The Shogeg, who says that? The Tosos Rosh, which is quoted also in the Ritva, right? Sorry, some of you might have older before they have the copy of the brush, because it's a brush. But he never quotes a rush. He always quotes a rush. Oh, it must be close. Some of the chicken. Ah, and then they found him into a rush. Rush. So, here, there are a number of ways to answer the Tosfos rush. Says, oh, Avar Bishoke on Bari Matze. If not, then I'm here with Shoge. Now, here's a question. Make a knas on Shoge or only make a knas on Mason? Okay, you know what the answer is? That's a, where's the sugya in Shas? Where we make a knas on Shoge for that? The one sugya?
The nerves.
In the main sugya is the fifth paragraph of Gittin. Like Duffman Bees, the Gimel, and Gittin, and the whole discussion there. When we make a knas on Shoge, when we don't. But the answer is some achloks. Not when we make a knas on Shoge, it depends. In some cases, we're more afraid people violate, some cases. Less afraid people violate. It's called country shogeg atu mezid. So there's some cases where you make a knas on shogeg atu mezid, and therefore it could be you can make a knas on shogeg. We don't always make a knas on shogeg, but sometimes we do. So it's usually we don't. I would say sometimes we do. So it's possible. That's the Tosfos Rosh's answer. Okay, what's the Meiri's answer? Yeah, I mean, it depends on you buy a little plug, but for example, making a knas on shogeg, it's only if the person was in the shogeg, right? You wouldn't make a knas on shogeg or something like that. What does the Meiri say? The Meiri says, that's what we're worried about here. I'm quoting the Yerushalmi HaRama, right? The Yerushalmi is a quote to Yochanan and Shlakish, assuming simple shot that we always hold like the Yochanan and Shlakish. So it was mafgir their chametz before Pesach. It's not the same as our case. It's a total different case. They were mafgir their chametz before Pesach. Pesach ended, they were back in the Rizokha. Rishlakish says it's fine. There's no chum shavuot pesach. Rabbi Yochanan says no shash harama. Right, we're afraid of it. He says to me here, he expands this. He says the shash harama. What does he mean by shash harama? Ah, this guy really did not do anything to make it. He just forgot to b'digas chametz. He said, what do you mean he forgot to b'digas chametz? He just had a lot of valuable chametz or a lot of tasty chametz or whatever, and he, you know, ended to forget. We're afraid that this is all a trick. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva goes a little further. Or what does the Ritva say? That Roy lover love, right? In the Lashon, he says later on, Adav Chavtes or Chavtes or wherever he is, Chavtes, is that he says, when the Gemara says, Avar love, it doesn't mean the Hebrew Avar love, which would be past tense, that he actually was over by Yom HaYimotzeh. Means the Aramaic of our love. Doesn't mean they're speaking Aramaic. It just means that, you know, often when they Amoron use Hebrew phrases, there's an admixture of Hebrew and Aramaic, and you know, they're not consistent. In the Aramaic of our is the present tense. Right? That's what he means, right? The Ritva later on says, oh, they're using in the Aramaic sense. Right? What does he say in Daf? What's his Lashon a little later on there? His Lashon is, I think he's the one who says that. Lashon Targum Hu. Lashon Targum, meaning Lashon Targum, Avar is not past, but it is present. It means it's the thing, what do you mean by present? It doesn't mean present right now. Present meaning the eternal present, right? It's the kind of thing that you are over by your Rabbi Yomotze now. Lam Davka Avar, so says the Ritva. No, it's the Lo Avar. Avod Gazru al kol chametz she shayach lavor alav. Right, it's the kind of chametz you're over love, meaning that's really low plug, right? There goes around all chametz, regardless whether you're over or not. Does that work well with Lashon Knas? It is a stretch on the Lashon Knas. I mean, if you're going to say the Tosfos Rosh, yeah, it's just a strong Knas. Some Knasos are only amazing. This is a Knas even Bishogeg. And I and Ben Kitten and Perikani Zakin, where you see that in some cases, mostly cases where psychologically Chazal judged that people are more likely to violate, they were those are even on Shogeg. If you did Meiri, that's also fine Knas. What's a Knas? He wasn't over amazing. Yes, he was. He's just lying. We're Choshish for Harama. So he deserves a Knas. Ah, not everyone's lying. But in case he's lying, he deserves a knas, right? According to here, it's a little less regular knas, so I want to come back to that. Just let's deal, the Rishon also are sensitive to the second question. I know that, I don't think anyone asked the second question, but they answer it, right? It counts as a question if you answer it, even if you don't ask it. Even Tainach, we stretch and find a way that the Chametz after Pesach lost around Noah. Again, we're not talking about someone who left Chametz purposely, or someone who didn't do B'dika, right? Why did they pass? Either because B'shogeg, or because we think they left it purposely, or because this is not a standard knas. But still, it's such an Isser Kal, why would we go to B'dika? Right? It doesn't make sense. You remember how hard all the Rishonim worked in the Bezim and Aleph. Why there goes B'dika by Chametz on Pesach, not by any other Isser in the Torah. Not by Chelim and Isser and Karis and everything else. So why would we be gozer on this very, very light Isser? It's not even a gzeir, it's just a knas. Why are they be gozer bidika on such a light Isser? So anyone remember which we showed him answer this question? What does the Ran say? What's his phrase? He uses a phrase. Exactly. Says the Ran. You see the Ran's bothered by this question. It says, it's only to Rabbanan. Why would they be mitakim bidika? So the Ran says, no. Asu chizuk l'divrei yem kashel Torah. Kishel Torah, right? That's a phrase which means that in many cases, basically, that phrase is sort of saying like, we just don't accept the question. The question is that when you have a Darabana, we shouldn't take it so seriously like we take a Daraisa. The answer is no, there's a concept called Asu Chizik L'Divrei Kishel Torah. Meaning, when you have a model of a Daraisa that's very chaver, and then they make a Darabana that's similar to that, and the Darabana is Kal, nonetheless, they're mechazik, they're about to like a daraisa, just so people take it seriously. You know, perhaps it comes from the idea, again, this cuts against some other ideas we find in the Knesset submission of Elvis Magrib, that once there's coming to daraisa, and that's serious, and there goes with this Issa Rabbanan, there goes with this Issa Rabbanan, and don't take it, say, but don't do a bdika for it, then people won't really believe that it's a real serious Issa. So therefore, maybe they went out of their way to say, no, we're offering this Kishel Torah, so you'll take it seriously. And you won't like, you know, it won't look like nothing compared to the Issa Daraisa. That's also Chilud Reim Shel Torah. What? You stress that even though it's only a Knas? Yeah, just, what's his exact Lashon? His exact Lashon is, the Avagav Dlo Maitzer El Rabban Kihechim the Kesudar Rabbanim Shneur Leiv Lo Asur Afilo Na Asur Chilik Reim Shel Torah. Just like they make a Knas that is Asur, they also make Chizuk to require Bdika. Yeah, I mean it's obviously part of the Knas, right? You know, it's where else would it be from? And within the Knas, they didn't make a Knas that's a light Knas Sheino Doma Le Isur Torah. They made a strong Knas that's Asur Chizuk Shel Torah. Okay, but why do they make such a strong knas? Because there's a general concept called also chiddush ring shel Torah, which is built into the specific takana. I don't mean it's a general concept; it's not a general din. It's within the specific takana. I'm not sure I see that there. And my intuition is the opposite. I might be wrong. My intuition is the opposite, and I paskin based on that intuition. Meaning, if anyone's on my WhatsApp, you know, you should know, everyone asks me questions, after Pesach, can I buy from this? Can I rely on that mechira, And I say, okay, after Pesach, it's a knas. You know, it's not such a chomer iser, and therefore, you know, we can be made called some and all the mechila. I know that everyone knows that. But anyway, I hear your time. It's something to think about. I don't know how to prove it one way or the other, and I'm not sure. Okay, there's another svara that I think might be what the Ritva means. Part of the problem is if you've, you know, read the Ritva much this year, you notice the Girsa is not so Eisgadim in the Ritva and Pesachim. So it's not exactly clear what he means. But if you look at the Ritva, he has a line where he says, Iker Eperish Gosh Pershur Al-Fasi Zal D'Tocha Moida D'Tocha Pesach L'Chol Shal Moed L'Achar Moed L'Achar Right, and he heals a kid in the Bidigon Yotz L'Achar Moed L'Achar Pesach. Why do you have to do bdika after Pesach? Okay, because if you serve chametz olah Pesach, V'chayev levaru k'nish l'kashlo. You have to get rid of it so you don't accidentally eat it. Devadai michlef lechamitz v'pesach. Because for sure it'll be michlef lechamitz v'pesach. Now those words don't necessarily mean anything. For sure it will be confused with chametz on Pesach. I'm not sure. What do you mean for sure? How will something for sure be confused with chametz on Pesach? Chametz after Pesach. It's certainly not for sure going to be confused with chametz on Pesach. Not also eat chametz after Pesach, so you're not confused with chametz before Pesach. It's ridiculous. We always eat chametz after Pesach. It's nuts. So I think what he means is, I know you have to, there's clearly something wrong with the gersa. I think what the Rikva means is, I think he was bothered by this question. Obviously, in the next few lines, he was bothered by this question. He was bothered by the question of, why are we so machron in Issa Rabbanan to require Biyar Hashem Yikashlubo? It's only in Issa Rabbanan. And I think his answer is this. By most Issa Rabbanan, we wouldn't make you do Bedika less than to come to eat it. No, by Chelev, you don't have to do Bedika less to come to eat it. By Nevel Shreifas, you don't have to do Bedika less to come to eat it. By Chametz on Pesach, you only have to do it unless you come to eat it, because it's very, very chomer and very, etc. But he says, I think what he means is, but Chametz Sha'avar Lo Pesach, there's really, it's not do bedika less Shema Yavol Acho. If you have Chametz Sha'avar Lo Pesach in your house and you don't do bedika to get rid of it, is that Shema you'll eat it? It's Vada you'll eat it. What do you mean? Because after Pesach, you're going to eat Chametz all the time. So you can have Chametz all over your house, and then there'll be Chametz here and Chametz there. So when you find the chametz after Pesach, you'll for sure eat it because you'll assume that it's from the chametz that you're eating today. You'll assume it's very right. If I find chametz on Shavuos, I'm going to eat it because I'm just going to assume it's regular chametz, not chametz shavuot on Pesach. So I think what it means that you'll be vada yavol achlam. Again, I have to. Someone has to fix the gersa because it can't be vada mechel. I think when he's vada mechel, meaning it'll for sure be confused with your chametz that you baked after Pesach. And therefore, maybe what the Rif is doing to answer this question is, if that's what he means by Vadai Michlof, I think what he means is, for sure you will mix it with the chametz you bake after Pesach and eat it. Because there's no chance, not all treif, if you find it, you might eat it, but you might not eat it. But over here, there's no chance you won't eat it if you find it, because you'll just assume it's part of your regular household chametz. Why should you assume that it's been there since before Pesach? So I think maybe what the Rif means is, Hechmiru ki im lo yivdok vadai yochlenu. Okay, that could be a good explanation why, even though it's not such a strong isser, but we have to require bedika, because if you don't do bedika, you'll vadai eat it. And you don't want to be a sister, you'll vadai eat an isser, as opposed to every other isser in the Torah, where even if you don't do bedika, you'll maybe eat it, maybe not eat it. If I have pork in my house and then bedika, I'll maybe eat it, but I probably. But I probably won't eat it. If I have chadash in my house and I don't do medika, I'll maybe eat it. But I probably won't eat it. If I'm a nuzzer and I have wine in my house and I don't do medika, I might eat it, but I probably won't. And this is the only case where, of course, you have to do medika because you'll for sure eat it if it's in your house. Okay, maybe that's his answer. The third answer, the last answer I know, was given by Rabbi Yehudavit. Rabbi Yehudavit gives a very clever answer. And maybe this is, it ties into what Shmuel was saying, although I don't think it's what the Ran meant. Says Rabbeinu David, you know why you have to do bedika? Not because Shem Yavlo Achlo is such a chomer chashash. Why do you have to do bedika? Because, says Rabbeinu David, why does Rabbeinu David think you have to do bedika? Anyone? No, I think that's the Rabbeinu David a little bit on Daf Chaf Tes, unless he said that here also. What does he say? He says, where's the Rabbeinu David? One second. On our daf, says, sorry, let me just find the Rabbeinu David on our daf, says the Rabbeinu David on our daf, he says, Kishem sha'osur v'shem an'achar z'manim shem k'nasa hova v'lo 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 v'lo. He makes a chiddush. He says, it's a new knas. Ki hechi. Just like he was kones that you can't eat it or be nana from it because you violated by your alimatze, likewise, listen to his lashon. There are goes that you have to do bedika afterwards, so you shouldn't be nana from not doing bedika. Meaning, if I didn't do bedika before Pesach, and then I'm potter from bedika after Pesach, I've now gained by not doing bedika. I'm happy I didn't do bedika. I saved myself the terach of bedika. I saved myself, you know, having to burn and throw out a lot of pieces of bread. So I think what he's saying is this, it's part of the knas. Part of the knas is that if you didn't have to do bedika after Pesach, you would be happy and benefit and gain from the Avir of not doing Bedika. Not the Avir of Bali Rabbi Yamatze. To the Avir of not doing Bedika. So what Rabbi Gamadabit is saying is that kind of livdok bitoras knas al or kidei shelo yarviach mi mizeh shelo bodak bismano. Right? It's not Shem Yom Lachlo. He doesn't say, meaning he starts out with Shem Yom Lachlo, but I think his maskan is that the Bedika here is not pure Shem Yom Lachlo. What does he say? I'll read it again. The Intish Alomu B'dogachar Pesach. After all, there's no problem. The answer is, just like there's a Knas of Riley Baruch Yimotze, also a Tam Atzmo for the same reason. It's Shrikum B'dogachar Pesach, Kedil Shul Yohanek, Klom Shul Shul Abadag Bismanu. There's a Knas, you shouldn't benefit from that doing Bedika. So it's really a new Knas. It's not really such Shem Yom Lachlo. It's really a new Knas for not doing Bedika. You didn't do Bedika, the Knas is you still have to do Bedika, and you can't gain from your Aveira of not doing Bedika, or from your Bittul HaSeim not doing Bedika. You're right. Correct. It maybe I would say it's building off that. You're right. Meaning he thinks that not doing Bedika is also a violation, just like Rabbi Eliyahu wants a violation. And not only, what's the Chiddush here? Not only because of not doing Bedika, you get a knas of the chomet being usher, because of not doing Bedika, you get a knas of still having to do Bedika, so that you shouldn't laugh all the way to the bank, as it were. Okay, so we have a few answers here. We have three answers to why they made a chomet Bedika for such a light issue either. It's a light issue to also do the chomet, or it's a light issue. But since you're vada going to violate it, you take it more seriously. Or it's not because Shema Yavu L'Achlo. It's because you shouldn't profit Shelo Yechotei Nisgar. You shouldn't gain from the Avera of not doing Bedika.
And as Rebbe.
What he says, give me a second, that's not test. Not doing Bedika is also an Avera, just like Rabbi Rabbi. Okay, now I want to...
Rebbe, can I ask you a question?
No, yes.
Why can't we go in the direction of Reb Chaim and his chidushim by chametz and matzah that the knas is a preventive measure, and therefore you're not necessarily goes around somebody having done an avera, but the not the tzad over the Rambam, but the tzad that he said the Rambam doesn't hold that it goes around the chefza to make the chefza shel iser. Because they didn't want people to deal, you know, to do averus, but not because somebody did something incorrectly. I don't know if I'm expressing myself correctly, but
I think you're right. Let me get back to that in a moment. Okay, Ramos. Now, let's just look. Let me take a picture of this board. I just want to take a few minutes to expand our discussion. We had a lot of discussions here. There's a lot of technical issues which come into play in this machlok between Rashi and Tosos, so if we can call it that for the sake of simplicity. What I want to focus on a little is this question, which is, what's the nature of the Knas of Rabbi Shimon? Right, and the lashon of the Gemara and Daf Lamed of an Aleph, Daf of Tesam and Aleph is where Shema Knas Akonis Hov Avrali Rabbi Yerabbi Yematzei. What's the nature of that Knas? Why am I asking what's the nature of that Knas? Because it seems to be that Knas, like we see in our sugya, that seems to be that this Knas is more far-reaching and has a broader scope than we would expect based on the normal, accepted, conventional concept of a knas, right? This seems to not follow the normal rules of knas. So, is this an exception to the normal getter of knas? And if it is an exception to the normal getter of knas, we have to figure out why. So let us, and our sugya is just one of the many examples where we ask, is this an exception or is this the normal rule? Right, what is the knas? What's the lashon again? Reb Shimon knasa kanis hol for avra leim vayir avayim matzei. Knasa kanis hol the avar alei be vayirah hu bal yimatzei. Here we have a whole bunch of machlokas among the Rishonim as to how far to take. excuse me. How far to take this knas? So let's look at some of them. So one interesting example is how far do we take the knas? Where do we see some focus? How about is it usher to everyone or only the person who did it? Right? Is it usher to everyone or only the person who did it? Or only the person who violated the isser? Right, is it usher l'achirim or not? Okay, here we see a bit of a lopsided machlokas. This is the Yom HaShoah siren. So we should hold the silence. I apologize for the abrupt transition from the shiur to the siren, back to the shiur. That's I guess the way the schedule is built, I think Yom HaShoah definitely points to the unique chesronot v'yitronot of Jewish history, and ultimately, the Torah is why the Jewish people are unique and have a unique history, different than all other residents of this planet, which makes us a target of persecution, and in addition, really makes the miracle of the fact that we're still around. Learning Gemara after we hold over to our own Devalei L'chaloseinu. La'aniyah dati, at least, I think that the least we can do for the memory of the 6 million who perished in the Shoah is to stand and show them some respect when the siren sounds on Yom HaShoah. And the most we can do for the memory of those who perished in the Shoah is to continue passing on the chain of their Masorah and our Masorah, and you know, keep the flame alive, which is what we do every day by learning Torah. Continuing in Rabbi Shimon. So here we find a bunch of machlokes. Basically, this what's the problem? The problem is there's one line, Knasa Kanes Hova Avalei Bayur Le Matze, and then lots of little hints everywhere else in Shas. And part of the other problem is that if you just said Knasa Kanes Hova Avalei Bayur Le Matze, you would think it is a very narrow Knas, tailored like many of the other Knasas we find in Shas. Only for the person who did it, only if you really did it, you know, with significant malfeasance, only if you actually violated it, etc. Yet we find many hints elsewhere in Shas and in the Masechet that broaden this Knas, again, to a scope which we would not expect. So let's see some of those machlokas. One of these, a very lopsided machlokas. Let's look at one of these machlokas is, for example, how about the Isser La'achir? Is it usher only for him or for other people also? Now, okay, this is a sugi in many places. In Shas, this also does come up from Avakama. Noah mentioned the question of usher, whether you're also with Noachrav, right? If he dies and his kids inherit it, does the Isser apply to them? Which, by the way, is a very, very, very big issue. In the Achronim, you should know, this comes up. Sometimes there are guys whose father was in front, and he had comments on Pesach, and it was worth a gazillion dollars, and he dies, and you want to know, like, does he just lose his whole Yerusha? This is what the beginning of Yehuda is about, with Hidushim in a very weird case that he discussed, etc. Anyway, what about the Isser La'achirim? So the simple shot is that it's Asher La'achirim. The simple shot is that this cannot apply to everyone, because the Gemara, in the beginning of Kulin, which says that you can buy chametz from avaryanik, from non-from people after Pesach, because b'stama they already switched their stock, and this is new chametz, implying that it was really chametz shavu Pesach. You couldn't take it from them. So the simple pshat is that it's usher to everyone. However, this is not so clear, because the Rabbeinu and Noah strangely quotes Harav Zalhevi B'Sifro. I'm not sure. I probably could look it up and find out who Rabbeinu and Noah calls Harav Zal and what safer it is. But anyway, Rav Zal, he quotes a Truva the Riff, which we don't have a copy of elsewhere, to the best of my knowledge, that it's Mutter the Yisrael Acher. However, other people Aser based on that Martin Hulin. So the Shuk HaRif, this alleged Shuk HaRif, you know, I don't know, but this simple shot is even lie about a Shuk HaRif. This alleged Shuk HaRif, quoted by Rabbeinu Noach, says that it is Mutter L'Acherim. And likewise, the Sefer HaMichtam, there's this short but, you know, concentrated punch, Sefer HaMichtam, which is one of the Chachmei Provence, on Daf Chavtes, who brings out a whole bunch of machlokas, just machine gun fire, machlokas, and one of them is Yesh Omrim, that since the Knas is only for the person who did the Aveir should have a Knas, but for someone else, Mutter, and then he says, not true, they all bring the same Raya. So here, what do we say? We say that the Shot HaRif, quoted by Rabbeinu Manoach, and the Yesh Omrim in the Mechtam say it's Mutter L'Acherim, and all the other Rishonim say it's Asher L'Acherim. Okay, if it's Mutter L'Acherim, that makes sense, right? That's Nicha. A Knas. Why should they be a Knas on someone else? They should only be a Knas on you, right? If you didn't have it, you should get a Knas. Why should I get a Knas? Because you, you didn't have it? That doesn't make any sense. This is Yisvara Nicha. What's the Svara for the other Rishonim say it's also Achir, but you have to make a big finish, or you can just fit it into simple Knas psychology? Well, this can depend on the details. The devil will be in the details here, but you could say, no, the Israel Achir is really part of the Israel and the guy, because after all, if I can feed it to other people, then I haven't really lost much. After all, if you say it's mutter to other people, then maybe I'll just give it as a present to someone else. And then I'll be happy that other person got it. If there are lots of people like feeding other people, you know, I'll give it to my kids. I'm happy to feed my kids. I mean, I would have spent money to feed my kids anyway. Or if I'm not from, I'll sell it and make money. I'll sell it and make money. And, you know, the townspeople will buy it because they'll say, it's mutter to us anyway. You know, I'll figure out a way to sell it and make money, and the townspeople will buy it, and the OU won't give me problems because it's really mutter anyway. You know, so it could be, you could say that
Isn't that really just Haroma? It's a continuation of Haroma. You might just pass it over to somebody else.
Yeah, but here I'm talking about Haroma and what you do with it afterwards, not Haroma and what you did on Pesach. Right? The Haroma is talking about you were Marim that you want to own it on Pesach. Here I'm just saying that really, in order to make a knas on this guy, it has to be also everyone else, or else the guy's still going to be happy and benefit. So you could just say, now, of course, then you have nafkaminas, right? Which are discussed by the Akronim, but I can put them all here. What if he lost it and you find it on the street? Then it doesn't make sense that it should be also you because of a knas to him, right? I don't remember someone discussed that. I don't remember if it was in the Armakor sheet or not. My fate was in some place in the Akronim. And what if he dies and his son inherits it? Right? Okay, they can go both ways. Maybe we make a knas because he's, you know, he cares about his son's inheritance. Maybe we don't. Okay, but certainly nafkamina would be if he loses it and you find it on the street, then it should be mutter because there's no need to knas him if he lost it and you found it on the street, which some of the Achronim do bring up. I mean, they don't possibly have it, but Sirif, all that's not Mahakil, etc. But you could say that it is chelek from the knas on the Amaryan. Or you could say, you know, maybe something more machosh.
You know, would you, could you say that like Bitzel is also like, is it not doing that? That like maybe Bitzel would work better?
Exactly. Exactly. That is discussed in the post-skin. You know, the post-skin, because there's such pressure in some of these cases, it's like every combination. They're the tsarful, the factors. And if you look at it, there's a very long Shari Tshuva, which I just put a small snippet of. But there's tons about this in the Achronim, and many of them are mitzari bittel to other kulas in order to come up with kulas, but there are many who come up with kulas even if the guy's not firm and didn't do bittel. Okay, but it's always hard to tell when they're mitzari things, when is it just like regular halacha, like maximizing your odds, like, well, it might be more to run this sheet, it might be more to run this sheet, it might be more to run this sheet, so like, I don't have to be so mechan, or is like, I'll be lumbus, those factors actually interact. We'll try to at least tease out some of them. Another issue is what comes up in our sugya. What if the guy didn't know about it? Right? That was that big Shari Tshuva talked about. What if the guy Mamish didn't know he had chametz at all? Now again, our case is a little funny. He didn't know he had chametz, but on the other end, he was a moshe who didn't do bedika. Like, you know, hello, like you've been Jewish your whole life. What do you mean you didn't know you have chametz? You never heard of bedikas chametz? The Shari Tshuva discusses cases where, like, Mamish, the guy had no way to know he owned chametz. You know, it was on a boat that he didn't load, that he didn't know about, etc. And that's what the Achronim, I mean, they go to town in these cases, right? I mean, this is a real-life case. All of a sudden, a boat comes in with $100,000 worth of chametz, and now the guy violated by Galilei Matzei, but Mamish wasn't his fault. So what about all these cases? And I don't know if I can go into all the details. Maybe I'll see if there's some way in the board I could, like, at least be more rames to these details. But what about Shogeg and Anus, right? What about Shogeg and Anus? Right? What if he wasn't amazing? Right? That's exactly what does Sefer Amanik say. Sefer Amanik says, since he didn't know about it, it's mutter. He says, since he didn't know about it. I'm assuming that means because he wasn't amazing. And what does the Michtam quote from Yesh Omer? Quotes the Michtam. He says, Yesh Vish Omer. When you make a knasa, amazing. Right, so there is a deal like this. There is a Sefer Amanhig and the Yesh Omrim in the Sefer Amichtam. It says Mutter. And that's Nicha, because why should there be a knas? If you didn't actually, do an Avera, right? Again, okay, we'll just go this pitch. Why should there be a Knas if you didn't actually do an Avera? However, the Achrona, the most you showed them assume not that way. A lot of it starts with the Rambam. The Rambam has a very strong statement, which is remarkable because it doesn't say this explicitly anywhere in Shas, right? It's not like the Rambam was quoting a sugya. The Rambam just thought this was logical. He says, "Dovas that knas would be so funny. Shavu labai rabai matzei asruhu va'afilu hinicha b'shtaga o ba'ones. Even a shogeg or ones, right? The Tosfos Rashi here says shogeg. Shogeg I can handle a little more, right? Comes from shogeg yotu meisit, right? He doesn't say what he thinks about ones here. But you could say, I'm not sure what the Rush thinks about ones. Rush never says what he thinks about ones, to the best of my knowledge, anywhere in Shas. So what could you say?" Well, what does the Tosfos Rosh say here? Tosfos Rosh says, Kansu Shogeg. And what kind of Shogeg? I mean, this is a Shogeg who's Mamish Pepshia, right? This is like Mamish Pepshia, the Shogeg. Kansu Shogeg, they made a knas on a Shogeg. they made a knas on a Shogeg. And you know what? That's also not so crazy because we do find that someplace, sometimes they did make knas on a Shogeg, sometimes they didn't make knas on a Shogeg. Okay, Kitten is not the only Shogeg like that, but I'm fairly certain it's the longest Shogeg like that. You know, if you can have like a Shogeg longer than a daf about whether they made a knas on a Shogeg, then the answer is in every case you could find some smart to say why they won or why they. Or why they wouldn't. Okay, it's really in daf gimel here. The whole question comes to show you amazing kamiflege. It goes from daf gimel to daf nun dalet in gimel. Okay, so that's also you could say also nicha because sometimes you do find comes to show gate. Ah, good question. The rush might only be if he didn't check the makom shemak nisa b'chametz, which is a real pshia din shogeg, right? After all, the lechor the makom she'emach nisa b'chametz, that's not shogeg, that's onus, right? Meaning, I did everything I was supposed to. The truth is, maybe he didn't check his pantry. Maybe that's already karvel mezid. Okay, so maybe that's kind of amazing. Here, the harsh shogeg here means like a reasonable shogeg. You know, he forgot about Bedikas Chametz. He was very absent-minded, whatever the case was. You know, he thought he really did Bedikas Chametz, and he didn't. Or he thought his brother did Bedikas Chametz, and he didn't. Meaning, you can have cases like this with shogeg. Or he thought he checked there, and he didn't. Right? You can have reasonable shogeg cases. What? Or he just didn't, well, is it correct? Or you could say shogeg is when he violated the kind of bigas chametz. Again, that's a very shogeg carvel mason a little bit. That's what Rush is talking about. But it could be that he just forgot the bigas chametz. Okay, however, what does the Rambam and many Rishonim say? Rambam and many other Rishonim. Who are the many other Rishonim who we saw? We know this, the 2 days is about the Sefer Mechtam, but... but I remember who we saw about this case. But a bunch of Rishonim agree with him. They bring some rayas. One of the rayas they bring is the Gemara says it's not the case of the Mishnah. It's the case the Gemara discussed in the context of the Mishnah. If I give my chametz to a guy as collateral for a loan, I give it to him as collateral for a loan, and then I give him his collateral for a loan, and he ends up taking it after Pesach. But it was still mine during Pesach, so I have a knas and it's called a pesach and zasser. But I was honest, I couldn't destroy it. It was collateral in the house of the guy. And I didn't have enough money to pay back my loan. What am I supposed to do? I gave him chametz as collateral. I don't have any cash. I don't have no access to the chametz. You know, like, it's an honest. And they have other cases. So the Rambam and other Rishonim all say that nope, it's usher. And the Chiddush is not Shogeg. Shogeg is not such a big Chiddush. Even in Shogeg, you can have different Madrigas for Shogeg, right? Which, you know, Shmuel teased out a few of them, but you could tease out an infinite number of Madrigas if you want. But Onos, that's really weird. We never heard anywhere in Shas, but Knas Behomis. And the Rambam's a Furish, he's like straight out, right? The Rambam, and it's funny because he doesn't even say his makar, right? So the Rishon, the Mefarshim, try to figure out what his makar is. He says, even ba'onis, that's a tremendous kiddush. This doesn't fit any normal rules of knas. There is no way to the normal rules of knas that you could ever say that there's a knas on an onus. That's for sure a kiddush. So again, we see these kiddushim that goes beyond the realm of normal knas. Could be for a reason. Because in this case, the guy, he was collateral to a guy, he was onus. And now, we shall discuss, that depends on the okempt is. The okempt is he had money, and he wasn't onus. He was made for not redeeming it. But if he didn't have money, most people give collateral. and the collateral is confiscated because they don't have money. So again, I gave it as collateral to the guy. I was an honest. Okay, you have to ask. Maybe I shouldn't have done it in the first place. I should have thought about it. But, and nonetheless, the Rambam says, under some many shall agree, that seems to go beyond the regular rules of chametz. Another great example like this is the discussion, what do they make a diuk? They make another diuk from this. Gozo chametz over lava Pesach. What does the Rambam Kama say? What are the two makoros for the Rambam? One is the collateral. If you assume the okimt is that it's an onus that I couldn't be, clearly I can't burn it. It's collateral in everybody's house. But that I couldn't redeem it, or I couldn't have anticipated not being in this situation. The other case they give is gozal chametz over lo pesach, right? If it's, and the Noda Yehuda denies this with a lot of pilpul, but the simple shot is, the Gemara says, if it's someone steals my chametz after Pesach, they can give it back to me and say, Reshal Chalafanecha. It's one of these kulas that is one of these cases where, you know, there's something that's technically valid even though it goes against our intuition. He can give it back to me even though it's worthless and he doesn't have to pay. Okay, that's a big tradition of Gemara called Omer Bisurana, Reshal Chalafanecha. That you can let him return Bisurana. But the assumption of Gemara, the Gemara's question is the Gemara's question. Does he have to pay me for the chametz that he stole before Pesach and now it's after Pesach? Or can he give it back to me and rip me off? But the assumption is also Rana. Then the Noda Yehuda gets out of this assumption with great polo that was in the brackets. Hold on. Why should that be also Rana? I'm an honest. He stole it from me. What was I supposed to do? I couldn't destroy it over Pesach because it was stolen from me. So, one of those two cases is probably the mukkar of the Rambam. It's tremendous chiddush the Rambam. Goes against all that you have knas. Anus. Anus rachana patri. Anus didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. So, what are the proof? What are the proofs? And let's just make a little side point here. I think the two main proofs that Rishonim bring are A, the collateral, the mashkon. Although you could be Tocha, unless you make an Okimta that he could have avoided it. Either make an Okimta that he could have anticipated this happened in the first place and he should have done it, or that he had money. And the second case is The Gezel, the Gemara says, Asarana. There is Asarana, and they don't seem to think that you can make the Okemta Rabbi Yehuda there. So one second. Unless you're Dokha, the Rabbi Yehuda is all Pilpul, where he says it really means it's not Asarana. Or, the only way to be Dokha, Exactly. That's what some of the Achronim say. Very good. That's what some of the Akronim say, unless you reinterpret the Gemara, which is the Shita of the Noda Yehuda. And again, I didn't even tell you how to reinterpret the Gemara, I mentioned them if you want. Or what some of the other Akronim on the Shulchan Aruch say is that it's not a Knas on the Gazlan, it's a Knas on the Nigzal. Why? Because when Pesach comes, it's in the hands of the Nigzal. Now, the Nigzal doesn't really own it, he has no right to it. But the Maisa, do we know if this Nigzal is going to return it and get caught or do tshuva or not? No. Minastam, if something's stolen, what would you assume minastam? It's going to get back to the owner or not? Perhaps most of the time. I hope we don't know this from personal experience. From either end. What happens most of the time? Most of the time, it's something stolen, you don't get it back. It's pretty rare to get something back that's stolen. So maybe the answer is, I don't know, we misunderstood. Don't view the Nixal as the owner. Don't view the rightful owner as the owner. I know the rightful owner is the owner morally, ethically, you know, halachically, etc. But practically, the Goslin is the owner. And therefore, it's a knas on the Goslin. If in an unanticipated situation, it gets back to the owner, too bad the knas is already chal when we thought it would be like the Goslin. That's what some of the Achronim say, or say that we view the Goslin as the owner for knas purposes, which is not so crazy because, like, who cares who really deserves to own it? The knas should be on the person who's going to have it for the rest of his life, that he shouldn't benefit from it. And so, therefore, they don't look at the Nigzal and say, you don't deserve a Knas because you're honest. They look at the Goslin and say, ah, you do deserve a Knas. I know you're not the owner, but practically you're the owner. So you deserve a Knas because you're amazing. Okay, that's what, if you want to know who says this, the Brichadosh and the Tav Mem Ches says it, and Shukasam Sofer also in Simikov Yutes suggests this and some other opponent. Okay, but nonetheless, these proofs are convincing to many Rishonim who think that it applies even Be'onis. And then that would obviously be Chish. And that comes up in our situation, right? I mean, our situation, but Shogi, not about Onis. But you see, what did the Ritva say? Anything that's Roy Lavra love. Roy Lavra love means even bonus, right? Right? All those Rishonim say Roy Lavra love, which the Meiri also ends up saying, throwing in later on, in the Ramban, or in David, etc. They all either say explicitly or say implicitly that it's also even bonus. There's a Ran, it's not a recourse at all, that seems to say this also. There's an Eri, seems to have this Maskana. Okay, basically most Rishonim are asking Ba'onis, and that's the biggest Chiddush in the world. See, that doesn't make any sense for a perspective of Knas. Let's just mention one or two other cases that come up. How about, for not the case where, this was a case where you didn't, it wasn't your fault either. How about if you didn't do by your own Matzei at all? Does the Knas apply if you didn't do by your own Matzei at all? Obviously, we'd think not. But what about, what would be a case where you didn't do by your own Matzei at all? And what about after Bittel? After Bittel, the Midah Rice Mizu Bayam Matzei, no by your own Matzei at all. Another case which we've shown and discussed, the Ritva and others, what if you had in the house of a Goy? Now, of course, this depends on the Machlok scene. There are Ban and Tosvos, and you could add a Davav of an Aleph, and it's, I think that's what we focused on it. It comes up in a few places. But if you hold, or simply what about the case where you're a Mafgrit, which may or may not be the same as Bittel, depending on the Machlok's what Bittel is. Everything really ties into everything. So, anyway, what about if you didn't violate by Rabbi Yimotze at all? You would think there should be no Knas if you didn't violate by Rabbi Yimotze, such as Kagon Acher Bittel. Is there a Knas if you did Bittel? By the way, this is a big discussion in the post-game. We're all over this because in many real-life cases, like they're talking about Orthodox Jews and Orthodox Jews do Bittel. And then all of a sudden you find some chametz, etc. Again, nowadays, these shilohs come up a little less once they invent mechiras chametz, but they still come up all over the place because if you look at all the shuv de'achronim, it's very fascinating, all these cases, there are all these cases where the guy thought he sold the chametz and he didn't, right? He sent his shliach to sell the chametz, chazak a shliach osa shlichuso, and the shliach got a heart attack on the way, whatever, and never so tripped and broke his leg, whatever, and never sold the chametz. He sold his chametz, but it turned out the sale was invalid for some technical reason, right? So you still have all these cases, and certainly before Mechiras chametz, these were maisim, b'chol yomer, going to Bittel, and think he didn't have any chametz, and then do Bittel, because that comment from Yehuda or Rav or earlier to Bittel. Okay, so here, this ties in a little bit to the historical question. Remember the historical question we saw at the beginning of the year? Was there a minhag to do, or a takana to do Bittel? Clearly Bittel is in the Mishnah, right? Later on we saw, if someone's on the way to bring his carbon Pesach or do Bris Mila or eat Sudas Erosin, and remembers he has something at all, we should be mevatel it. But was a routine Bittel, did that exist in the time of the Mishnah or not? So we saw Machlokes about that, but we said no, etc. But many we showed assume yes. So the time of the Mishnah, they all did Bittel, and yet there's a Knas and Chomer Shavuot or Pesach. That proves that Knas, even after Bittel, who are the sides of this Machlokes? Who says that there's no Esser, bless you, after you did Bittel? So the Sefer HaMichtah, that same Sefer HaMichtah, basically you could just give a whole shiur based on one Sefer HaMichtah, he doesn't give names, he says, Yesh Misha Omer, they came to Shomri, Dominu, Asr, Shem Knasa, Ova, Avra, Leim, Kain, Hekad, the Bottle, Shomino, Over, Motor, Lekla, make the same. Okay, but some people disagree, right? The Rambam, he thinks, well, okay, some people disagree, he doesn't say explicitly who. So he quotes Yesh Omer, who says that likewise, the The Marim Chalava, I think. One second. What does he says? Yesh Vershim Davkim Shalom Bitel. He also puts a Yesh Omrim. But if it was Bitel, there's no problem. Although he also disagrees with this Yesh Omrim. Who actually holds like this? Who actually holds like this Yesh Omrim? Here, it's not. It's not so clear. The Mihiri in our sugya says, it's our sugya, says, give me a second. V'chena tzorch lefarshav shlo bitel, v'chena din, shari bitel o nitkam zvachachia mishnah. It must be a case where there was no bitel. Sounds like there's only a knas. If there's no bitel, once there's bitel, there's no knas anymore. But the Meiri later on then says that the Chachmelu no think that there's a heter if you did bitel. And they wrote a certain maisa, but he thinks, he changes mind there, he thinks l'daiti roi lesser. So in the end, not so clear. The seems to be more of just the Yesh Omrim. Achar Shebetol, what are the different shitas here? The Yesh Omrim in the Sefer HaMechtam and in the Maram Chalava say mutter, and that makes a lot of sense. Right, because after all, you didn't bother anybody all by Matzah. What's the issue? But, and the Meiri in some places here sounds like this, but in the end, the other Rishonim all maskana. The Rambam's not so clear. You should know, the Rambam doesn't say anything one way or the other, and the Achronim argue what he holds. But most Rishonim, right, what are the right, the Meiri in the end, and the Ritva, and the Ramban, the Reinim David, and the Maram Chalava, the Yesh L'ayin, the Das HaRambam. We're not sure what the Rambam holds. But the other Rishonim all say it is Usher. The question is, why should it be Usher if you didn't violate by your Yimatzei? Why should it be a Knas if you didn't violate by your Yimatzei? So here, there's a clear answer in Rabbeinu David. What does Rabbeinu David say? Why should there be a knas if you didn't violate by Rabbi Yimatze? Exactly, right? That's what you quoted me earlier. And the Ran says the same thing, although he didn't put it in the Makoros over there. He says, no, you didn't violate the Yisrael Raisa, but you violated the Yisrael Rabbanan. Remember, you're Raisa Bittuli Amasagi, but Midra Rabbanan, you can't rely on Bittul, and you have to do it because Hamids. So therefore, just like there's a knas, when they say knas sha'avar by Rabbi Yimatze, we don't mean davka if you violate by Rabbi Yimatze. We mean if you violate by Rabbi Yimatze and other similar Yisurim. So you can have knas for violating Yisrael Rabbanan. That we find all over Shas. That we find many cases in Shas that knas for violating Yisrael Rabbanan. You could go either way. After all, it's defense. That's again one of these cases because I'll make a judgment call. Is this Yisrael Rabbanan knas worthy or not? But we know if you violate the Yisrael Shehiyah on Shabbos, there's a knas. If you violate any Yisrael Rabbanan Shabbos, there's a knas. Okay, it's a little more makel than, or there's certainly at least an Yisrael B'Evan, Pashas, that's a knas. Certainly by Shehiyah, they call it a knas. Bittul Yisrael Hachila, according to most Rishonim, is an Yisrael Rabbanan. If you're in Bittul Yisrael Hachila, you get a knas. So therefore, what's the Svara here? The Svara could be, give me a second, the Svara could be what Rabbeinu David and the Ran say, or being governed in the Ran, say, they say that it is a knas on the Isser Durabana. Okay, or you could say, no, it's a chiddush. Maybe you didn't do an Isser at all. I mean, not you didn't do an Isser at all. You didn't do the Isser that we care about. It's not a knas for an Isser Durabana. It's just a chiddush that goes beyond the normal realm of the rules of knasses.
Still, the Doraita, and
Correct, meaning maybe the nature of the Takanid or Abundant of the Dika is to pretend you didn't do Bedika and you're still Chayiv, therefore you're still Chayiv in Bedika. Then it would make sense that we make it Tanasir. Agreed. This also comes up, let me just mention one or two other cases. How about Hifker Biyad Goy? Hifker Biyad Goy, I mean, sorry. Yes?
I know what you're supposed to say, it's not that, but I'm supposed to admire your
Tanasir. Yes, but basically what Avi was trying to say is that, you know, even if you did Bittel, it's like a Bar Yerubba, you mustn't be Rabba. Okay. That's a Chakira, it's a subtle Chakira. You know, the fact that you shouldn't rely on Bittel, you should do Bedika, is that a Bar Yerubba, you mustn't be Rabba, or a separate Takana? Okay, you can stretch it. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, I know it's a Chish, but it's not the, I think it's not the end of the world. excuse me. The Ritva and others also discussed two other cases. What about Hefker? What if you were Machter before Pesach? That already we have a Mocker for. That's a Mechlokas from Yochanan Reish Lakish in the Rishalmi. Seems to be a Mechlokas. We've shown him how to paskin. Right? Same thing about Chlokas, we've shown him how to paskin. And here the Or Zarua says mutter, which of course makes perfect sense. If it's Hefker, there's no Isser of Chamish al Hefker. But the Rush, I'll give the Rishalmi, it seems you've already forced the Rishalmi, the question is really well, like the Rishalmi or not, says Usser. But here he gives the Svara. What's the Svara of Usser? If you're your Mafgu for Pesach, the Svara is we're afraid of Harabah. We're afraid it might be a trick. Meaning, now, what do we mean by it might be a trick? Simple shot is that maybe you weren't really mafgrit. Maybe you just pretended to be mafgrit, but you weren't really mafgrit. So, okay, maybe that's the chash haraba. You know, that we'll see. We'll bring that back in a second. Let's just do one last case there, which I'm going to discuss.
Didn't we have the whole discussion about beetle that path of time doesn't work in a place like this, somebody has to take it first, or this, et cetera, et cetera.
That was 2 days in the Rishami. The Rishami said Rabbi Yochanan asked. One shot was because he had like Rabbi Yossi, which is that, right, that's where everyone discusses, that Hefker is not chal until someone else takes it. In which case, then it would be obvious why you're like Matze. But the Maskana of the Rishami seems, the Rishami doesn't have a clear Maskana, but it seems to be, the way the Rishami think, there's 2 days. Either you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Hefker is not chal until someone takes it, but that doesn't seem to be the day we pass like the Rishami, because we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. We hold Hefker as Hefker right away. Rather, what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Because I have Shash Harama. That's the marker of the word Harama.
Why is it a different discussion?
That depends whether the Bittul is Hefker or not.
I know, but you can tell all this is not very Shush. Meaning, even if you're going to say Bittul is not Hefker, at the end of the day, what we're saying is, it's ta'afar, and it's nothing, and you're not over it. It's the same level as why you should, why it should be mutter or us.
Correct. You're right. Meaning, really, when a lot of the achronim are mechalik in the case of Rishalmi and the modern Rishalmi after Bittel, it's not really because Hefker is different than Bittel. It's because the Rishalmi is like, mom, you have this coming to your head, you're a mafgrid, and you relate it to it in a very concrete way, and their Rishalmi are more like they wasn't in front of them. But you're right.
Bittel would be more reasonable.
It's not that Bittel is more reasons we make, because I said, like, something, right, they're really dealing with a case where there's less of a Shas Rama. So you're right. Let me come back to that. But basically what I say is the reason why I differentiate is because a lot of the cases after Bittel, there's not as much of a Shas Rama as a case where your mom just took something and cleared Hefker and made sure that no one else would take it. The last case, what if your Hefker Biyad Goy, which if you remember, that's not Chlokes Rishonim, right? If your Mafka Biyad Goy is that by Rabbi Yimatse, but Leman da Amar,
Lim and
Omar
did
that there's no
Bayer Abayimatse. You're right, though. Yes.
So here the Ritva says Usser, David says Usser, a bunch of Rishonim say it's Usser. No one explicitly says it's Mutter, but that's because most people don't talk about it, right? Ulai Mutter, and then it would be Micha, but I'm sure a lot of Rishonim might say it's mutter, just not everyone talks about it. It's a weird scenario. But I think the Ramban and the Aflamin Beis, the Rabbi David, and the Ritva, and the Ran, the Zan, the Makorosh Sheet, if I recall correctly, all say it's Asr. And what's the Svara? So you could say the Svara is very clear. This is by Rabban, what's the Rabbanan? It's even easier for Feigl's objection. Ah, you weren't over by Rabban, what's the Raisa, but we draw Banan, you're not letting your Chavit Yad go. Everyone reads at least an Eshter Rabbanan. So you could say it's because you find that by Rabban, what's the Rabbanan, which is basically what Rabbeinu David says, right? Lo Beer. Kita kanas chacham. I don't remember if he said that word about exactly this case or not. But avi shekidu etol goy. Yeah. Why? Lo kiyam avir commits us chachamim. Right. So the Ran there says the same thing. One of the koros. He says because the knas on by rabbi motzim midrabanan. Of course, or you could say. That is just some chiddush, that even though you didn't violate Bar Yerlai Matzei, the knas for Bar Yerlai Matzei, it's shayach even when there's no knas. Basically, what have we seen here? We've seen a tremendous machlokes we've shown him in all the details, and you can add tons more, right? Basically, when you wouldn't think there should be a knas, there are knas anyway. And if I were to summarize, I would say there's three shitas, not necessarily, but three possibilities in each of these issues. Either you say there's no knas, because logically there shouldn't be a knas, or you say there is a knas, but you find a logical way it fits with knasos. The knas on a chirim, that fits because in order to make a penalty on you, we have to make sure no one else eats it or else you'll benefit. Ah, shogeg. Shogeg can fit at least. Because somebody didn't cast on shogeg, although honest is tricky. Ah, you didn't violate Rabbi Rabbi Rabbi. Say, maybe you violated Rabbi 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 Rabbi. Right? Or you could say, no, there's some chiddush here, and this is or you say, this is a special shash harama. You took your things, you were mafter it, but you made sure that to do it in a way that no one else would take it the next 7 days, which is obviously fishy. And, you know, clearly there's a trick going on here and you didn't really mean to be mafkaret. Or you could say there's some chiddush here, right? That's one possibility is just to say, practically, the scope is very narrow. Or you could say, practically, the scope is broad. We have proofs the scope is broad. But for every case except for anus, we could find a way to fit that into the normal rules of knasos. Or you could say, no, this is a charig, this is an exception to the normal rules of knasos. The question is, why would it be an exception to the normal rules of knasos? And I think that the way that a lot of Rishonim express doesn't have to be. This would fit the expression of the Ritva, quoting the Ra'ah on Daf Chavtes. It means Ra'ah Yilav for a love. It doesn't mean offer a love. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong. It just means Ra'ah Yilav for a love. Right? You could say Ra'ah Yilav for a love, and meaning if you were over on a drop on, but simply, you know, most Rishonim would say. So what is this option of the Chiddush, right? If we could just, you know, oversimplify, right? Right, what's the oversimplification? Is just say it's a narrow scope or a broad scope within normal rules of knas or a broad scope which breaks the normal rules of knas, and you have to say this. You must say this if it's aser afilu ba'ones, because there's no way you can fit ones into the normal rules of knas. That's like there's no way you can just expand the normal rules of knas to include ones. So now the question is, why would we'd be so machmer to go beyond the normal rules of knas? One possibility, which is brought up by the Achronim, and really the Meiri. The Meiri at a certain point steps beyond it, because at a certain point he says, and even besides this, I think it's Roy Lav or Love. But in most places, the Meiri goes with what factors the Meiri bring in our Sugya? Remember, we had in our Sugya? We had this in our Sugya, Harama. Maybe somehow they were just more choshish for Harama more here than any place else. Why are they, now it's an issue, why are they choshish for Harama more in this case than any place else? It could just be because, you know, the temptation is greater. Someone cooks on Shabbos. How much are we going to choshish for Harama? A guy's going to, like, get up Sunday morning and start planning his whole week about how he can cook on Shabbos. No, just, like, don't cook on Shabbos. You know, like the singer, a guy's going to, you know, a lot of these sayings, you know, many of these things, like, there's really, like, it's not so common that someone would do a million haramas about this. Now, again, don't think of our modern-day reality. In our modern-day reality, we invented Mechiras Chametz to a guy. So now, of course, no one's going to do a haroma. Why? Because this rabbinically approved haroma, which is kosher al pi din. The mini Yisrael. But imagine, you know, imagine 500 years ago, right? Then basically you had a lot of expensive stuff and there was no way to keep it over Pesach, right? Maybe you could sell it to a guy before Pesach, but you know what? You'd be selling it at a significant loss, right? For all kinds of reasons. Right, I think there's more of a chashash of haroma here, and also like people don't like destroying their property. One thing you say, you know, you say don't put a mum in your bechor, don't cook on Shabbos, don't be batlus lechila atena, but like burn all your stuff. Again, for us, it's a lot of fun to burn our stuff because we have like a box of moldy bread. But if you're talking about serious inventory, which you know. Is what Chazal had in mind, Miskava. Chazal didn't initially make the takana because they envisioned a guy finding a cracker behind his couch, right? Chazal were imagining a guy with a storeroom in a business, or you know, a storeroom full of stuff that he invested in, where there's a temptation, where the chaos is significant. Again, the fact that if we find a moldy cracker behind the couch, we have to throw it out. That's halachically true, but that wasn't what they were worried about. You know, like none of us are crying. They were worried about serious money. So there's a shash harama. And that's what's the Makar Shasharam with the Yerushalmi about Hefker. Now, the Yerushalmi at Hefker is, and here's where you're right, Hefker and Bittel are pretty much the same thing, just that the Yerushalmi's case is more of an obvious haram. Oh, I take my $2,000 worth of liquor, I mafker it before Pesach, and miraculously it's still there after Havdalah on the 8th or 7th day, and I take it right back. Come on, I wasn't really mafkered. Obviously, I'm pulling some sort of shtick. Either I claimed I was mafkered, but I wasn't mafkered, or I just didn't look like hefker. It wasn't really hefker, etc. So that's like a mukra harama. But the Meir expands. He says, our case is also harama. Oh, you forgot to bedika. What do you mean you forgot to bedika? He didn't forget to bedika. He knew that, again, what's the case? Harama, you didn't do bedika because you want to save the moldy piece of bread behind your clothes closet. No, he knew there was serious money at stake, and he says, oh, I forgot to bedika. Oh, look at this. You know, I have a whole three cartons of Johnny Walker Blue Label, and, you know, that are worth, you know, $4,000 or whatever it may be. So one way is, what's pshat, right? What's pshat, right?
It works for sweets, though.
Is al pi v'yushalmi. It's an expansion of Yerushalmi, and then he says this in many places. Shash harama. Okay, Chazal judged. What does shash harama mean? They really would not want to make a knas in many of these cases. If we really trusted this what happened, they wouldn't have made a knas. But because of harama, they have to make it across the board knas. Okay, I would say that's a small exception to the rules of knasos, because it's really within the rules of knasos. It's just adding a shash of harama. It's not really taking it to a different level. But of course,
so what do you say about? So what about mechiras chametz to a goy?
Ah,
how are you good?
I mean, even
that's never, where it gets very practical.
I'm not trying to be a maverick here, but the Meiri never envisioned. Obviously, the Meiri never envisioned that someday they would work out a system where they would matter the harama and do it all kosher riyasher. Yeah, the Meiri never envisioned that. This is really more of a question for the. The Meiri never envisioned that. If you ask why did the Meiri never envision that, then clearly that's one. The Meiri never envisioned you would just have the rabbi do mechiras chametz for the couple. Why did the Meiri never envision that? Here, you could take it two ways. And this depends whether you want to be pessimistic or you want to love Kal Yisrael. Either the Meiri never envisioned it because he just never envisioned an economic reality where many people would have a lot of valuable chametz they need to sell. He envisioned a different economic reality. There's only one weirdo here and there, you know, here and there who might have a lot of chametz that he didn't want to sell, and the rabbi's not going to make a takana for that one guy, or one guy make a harama. Or, pessimistic view is he never envisioned that because it's not really valid, because it's just a joke. And of course, that's not halachically correct. Okay, you can take whichever pshat you prefer. Whichever shot you prefer. If you want my advice, you can ask me for next week.
Rebbe says, but the mechira really doesn't make a difference what the guy thought and what he's marim, because there's a mechira gemura.
We're not getting into that now. Okay, we're not getting into that now, and whenever haram is involved in mechiras chametz and or heter mechira coming up soon in the Tishrei. Is batal shishim compared to heter iska? okay, and I'm not necessarily saying that I'm that if I were in the world I would erase the heter iska. But we're not getting into that now. That's not our topic. It wouldn't answer all the questions. Is it shogeg an onus nicely? He was an onus. The answer is, what do you mean he's an onus? Everyone knows how to be an onus. You'll see when you have teenage kids someday. Okay, the people on Zoom know what I'm talking about, right? When you have teenage kids someday, they'll always be honest, right? And they're never amazing. They're never even shogeg was an honest. They didn't do their homework, and they didn't get up for minyan, and they didn't do their chores, and they left their plate, didn't clear their setting on the table, and they whatever. It was always an honest. Trust me, everyone's an honest. But we all know that, that 99.9% of the time, they're amazed or a shogeg kara amazed. So that would explain very nicely why are they gozer and an onus? They're gozer and an onus because he's not really an onus. He just made it look like an onus. We all know how to make things look like an onus. We're all very good at that. We're all very good at excuses. Oh, okay, got it. Great. That would explain very nicely, onus. That would explain very nicely, the case of Hefker, it wasn't really Hefker. He just made it look like Hefker. By Bittel, I think also it's a different kind of Harama. He wasn't really Mevatel. He just made it look like he was Mevatel. He really wanted the Chametz. He just made it look, he just pretended he was Mevatel Chametz. He was lying. Basically, if you assume he's always lying, then in many of these cases, we understand why we have to make more of a... Xavier, even when it comes to the Yisrael Achirim, maybe. I mean, again, that could be, what about the Yisrael Achirim? What did the Achirim do wrong? Who knows? Maybe the Achirim were in on it. Or maybe he had this plan all along. I think you can explain a lot of these things. You can explain a lot of these things with a, maybe not all of them, with an Harama. However, the other possibility is that, maybe there's something more fundamental going on. Maybe it's not just a Knas. This is still, this is sort of an asterisk on a Knas, right? This is a rider, they would say in contract language, right? This is just a add-on to the idea of knas. But maybe we're dealing, the Gemara says the knas, but maybe even though the Gemara says the knas, it's also more than a knas. You're not going to deny that it's a knas at all, then you're against the Gemara. But maybe it's also more than a kasa. After all, keep in mind, it's Rosh Hashanah versus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's an Isser Daraisa. It's a fundamental Isser Daraisa. It's just a Chalos Isser. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think it's a Chalos Isser. He thinks it's a Knas. But maybe even that Knas has a little bit of Chalos Isser within it. And here, there are many explanations of the Rachronim. The Rishonim, not as much. But why they would make it across the board Isser? Anyone want to know why they would make it across the board Isser? Maybe. No. It's not an add-on to Knas. It's really a... new factor besides knas. Yes, the Gemara says knas, and what does it mean by knas? If not for the knas, look, let's see what you mean. What would be a new factor or reason to make it across the board isser? Not because of your favor. What would be a reason to make it across the board isser? So here, there are some creative ideas in the acronym, and one of them I forgot to put on the Makoros. Yes. What does your Samach say? He says Badal Mine. He says kind of Badal Mine. What? Correct. He says, Badal Mine. What does that mean? He says, what's the whole reason for Bdikas Chametz and everything? That we want you to not eat the Chametz. He says, if we make it across the board Knas, then I'll keep you more separate from the Chametz. If you know that any Chametz Shabbat on Pesach is always Asur, no matter what the circumstances, that will, you'll view the chametz as inedible. You'll view the chametz more as garbage, and that will make you more bodily and less likely to eat it. Now, I am with Shmuel, I am 100%, if not more, with your intuition on this. But that's what he says here. He says, what does it really come back? He comes back to the Ran. Remember what the Ran said in the very first page of Ran? Why did the Torah say, Bar Yerovel Yibat Sein Tashbisu? What did the Ran say? Why did the Torah go to Bar Yerovel Yibat Sein Tashbisu? It's so that you don't eat it. So likewise, Chazal goes there. You come and shavu lava pesach so that you won't come to eat it. He says, since there's no hope and no use for it, you keep more separate away from it. Right? And it's more like hektish, which there's less of shashav la'achlo because like you know it's so much. So he says, as a gzera, he throws in this new factor, right? Says the or sameach, he says, Betaima, Dahach, etc., etc. Near into the MS, it's a little funny. He doesn't say how that works with the Lashon of Knas, right? But he didn't say that how that works with the Lashon of Knas, but maybe he means an additional factor, says the Orsameach. Orsameach says, if it's totally usur, then there's more, or not more, but usually there's none. Mivdol Gilamine. And less chance of accidental achima. And again, his model is hektish. But Shmuel wants to say something maybe a little sharper even. What did you want to say? Exactly. I meant to put this on the Makoros sheet. I forgot. This is a Mefor Shurk Sam Sofer. If you want to look it up, Simon Kuf Yudalit. I know there was like different Shulchan Aruch Sofer nearby in the brackets, but Shulchan Aruch Sofer, Simon Kuf Yudalit, I think this is a very sharp shot. He says, after all, I want to do Bittul Chametz. If I don't do Bittul Chametz, I'm in trouble, right? If I don't do Bittul Chametz, I can't do Chash Mishon Daraisa, all kinds of things. My Bittul Chametz has to be sincere. Remember the Ron 7 Duff Bezim and Aleph, that it has to be sincerely believed? How do you make sure my Bittul is sincere? After all, in the back of my mind, I always know, hey, this is good stuff. If I could just stall for 8 days, then I can eat it. But if we know that any chamash of Lor Pesach, across the board, Roy Lavra love, whether I did it this way or that way, whether I'm the guy, I'm not the guy, means it shogig on us, this circumstance, that circumstance, any chametz I have is going to be usher forever no matter what, then it makes me sincere in my bittul, because I really know that if I have any chametz, it's for the Ara, right? I mean, you're supposed to be in the madriga of honesty and sincerity that even though you know it might actually be valuable later, you view it as Afra the Ara. But that's hard to do. But however, they made it easy. So that's what he says. He says to ensure a sincere bittul. To ensure a sincere bittul, they had to forbid it in all circumstances. And that way, the guy can really say, as long as you're a firm Jew, it really is Kafir Da'ara to you. Because you know that no matter what comments you might or might not have in any circumstances, it's us you in all no matter what. that is, you're Mechan Chalam. So far, I think it's a good shot. The Makor Chaim says something, maybe the Makor Chaim of the Nesivas here that was in brackets, says something fascinating. What does he say? Which I'm not sure how much I'm going to say what he's saying, or maybe add to it. It's a little hard to tell. He says that this knas is different than every other knas. If I cook on Shabbos, they made a knas that I can't eat it. Okay, but that knas is very limited because you know what? Really, I could have waited until after Shabbos and cooked it. If they, etc., etc. The most knasa, so you did something wrong and they answered something to you, which would have been mutter if you hadn't improved it. I have a chefza, I improved the chefza, the iser. They answer the chefza because I improved it. But I could have had the chefza and just improved it in a different way. Right? In chametz, he says, I shouldn't have had this chametz at all. This is a unique kind of knas. I shouldn't have had this chametz at all. Chametz, I'm not supposed to have at all. Meaning, I'm allowed to have chametz before Pesach. I'm allowed to have a new chametz after Pesach. But once Pesach hits, I'm not ever supposed to have this chametz. And therefore, he says, they made this knas across the board. Why? Because I'm not supposed to, even though I'm honest, I didn't do anything wrong. Why do I get a knas? So like, no. If you tell me you cooked on Shabbos, like, why should I ask her to you? Why should you get a knas? You're right. Like, why should you lose your food so you're going to Shabbos over here? Like, you're honest, but you shouldn't have had this. Like, it's not really much of a knas. It's more of just a natural consequence. Right? it's not so much of a knas. It's more just natural. That's the Mekor Chaim says. Again, the Mekor Chaim is the Nesivos on Hilchas Pesach. Maybe Morty even printed it out here.
I did.
Yeah, it's the long version. You print out the short version, but it might be here also. Yeah. I apologize. The explanation is more in the long version. But says that it's Sivos. In the Mekor Chaim, he says, because it shouldn't exist anyway. Meaning the emphasis is not so much you violated by Rabbi Yimotze, but like, by Rabbi Yimotze means it shouldn't be there. Like, you shouldn't go against the idea of by Rabbi Yimotze, even if you didn't do anything wrong. It's not because you were wrongdoing. It's because, like, it just shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't be there. It's much more heft-oriented than gav-oriented. It just shouldn't be there. Right? Even if you're honest. So you're honest, but you shouldn't have this chametz. More of a consequence and a hefta than a classic knas on the gavra. And I think this is a little closer to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says just chametz on Pesach shouldn't exist forever. Even after Pesach, it's something that the Torah is against its existence. Like Rashi says, not the Torah is against its existence. When the Chazal came and they made a knas, they didn't make a regular knas because the gavra is a terrible person. They made a broader knas because this heftza is a terrible heftza because this situation is an inappropriate situation. It should just never have come about. It's not like if you cooked on Shabbos. If you cooked on Shabbos, you should have cooked soup. Could have put it up before Shabbos with the blech. You could have cooked it after Shabbos, etc. You know, the situation could be that you just did it the wrong way. Over here, the situation is fundamentally untenable. It shouldn't exist anyway. And here, it's more of an Isser Hefta. Right? Closer. Isser Hefta, like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, the Torah is not only against you interacting with Chometz on Pesach. Chometz shouldn't be there on Pesach. Chometz on Pesach shouldn't exist. And therefore, its existence is negative. Its existence is inappropriate forever. It's again, mostly don't explain how they then fit into the words knas knas hole of our leg. But I think what he means here is hoel that this is roi lavra love. Hoel that this is the kind of thing that shouldn't exist to by rabbi. Let's say they made a knas on the situation, not a knas on someone who's a bad person. It's a knas on a situation that shouldn't exist. Comment of Pesach shouldn't exist forever. For Yudim to write, so for Shimon Yarvan, it's much more of an Isser Hefta. So we have here, you know, what's going on here? Could it be just adding a Chashash Harama to a regular Knas? Or could we know there's more than a Knas going on here? More than a regular Knas. Either maybe there's a Knas and an attempt to prevent you from eating. A Knas and a way to make sure your Bittul is sincere. Or not so much of a Knas of the Gavra is perhaps a Hefta Knas, which is my Lashon, not his. Sorry, if you read in the Urim there, you can see his Lashon. It's across the board because Chometz on Pesach just shouldn't exist and it shouldn't exist forever. Any Chometz around the Pesach does not have a right to be in the world. It doesn't have the right to be in the world. Therefore, it's an Isser forever, not because of what you did wrong, but because of the wrongness of the situation. Yes. Correct, meaning I think here he would admit the Chacham would have on their own say that's what the Torah wanted, etc., if not the idea of Knas. But once they were Kodesh the Gavra, because they didn't want people to be encouraged to do the wrong thing, they expanded to the Hefta as well, inspired by the idea of Rabbi Yehuda. I think all three of these would have to say really it started as a regular knas, but once they made a regular knas, they expanded it to accomplish some other goal, which they wouldn't have been strong enough to start off with. And that's Mekayim, some Rotz and Atorah, correct. Okay. Now, by the way, tremendous nafkamina is all in the Achronim. All the Achronim to be in Tainah or Machmer in all these cases. Well, is there any room for leniency? Like, what if, for example, it wasn't just a regular onus? It was an onus that was totally unforeseeable and could be no harama about. Right? That's the Shari Chuba brings out a whole bunch of Achronim or Mekel. Ah, if it's a super onus, we're Mekel. That makes sense if you say three times harama, etc. But if you say it's fundamental, if there's another golden one, fundamental is kept, then the man comes with super honest. And etc. etc. So I'm not going to go through it, but that's just a great example. The machlok shartru brings down. What if it's an honest which was not at all? Like not like a guy held a gun to your head and said keep chametz on Pesach, or like you were honest by getting sick, whatever. No, you mamash had no possible way of knowing you had chametz on Pesach. If it's shas from Rama, it's just fucking limited. But the nafkamina is limited to cases of a shash harama versus even an anus is limited to cases of an anus that could be our rama. If really the guy gets sick. When did the guy get sick? Maybe it was convenient for him to get sick. Maybe he got sick and he could have done something bad and decided not to, and that was a good excuse. Again, if you're a teenager, you'll understand. But this, it would really be across the board. Okay, what I didn't get to yet, and the hour is exceedingly late, and I'm not sure if I should throw it in or not throw it in. Let me throw it in briefly because I want to finish this Indian. It could be there's Tzvei Dinim to Chamech Avrilah Pesach. Why? Because when did the Gemara say Kanis, Knasa Kanis from Shimon? Knasa Kanis from Shimon, Avril Bayo, that's it. Why it's Asher Bahanah? Who says that's the same reason why it's Asher Bahanah? Maybe Achila and Hanah are two different dinim. Maybe Achila is a fundamentalist or Hefza. Oh, Yachel Chametz, that's what's fundamentally wrong with Chametz. Hanah is more of a classic Knas to teach the guy a lesson. Where do we find the difference between Achila and Hanah in two or three places? I apologize. It'll take 5 minutes. You know, I'll make up for all of Venus Manin. Right, but let's see what it wants us to have she or all of Venus Manin. And we did it. So we're going to go 5 minutes over Rabbi time.
That's Turish about all the best.
No, even Monday. No, not Monday. We should have a she or Monday. Where do we find there could be Tzvei Dinim in terms of Achila Hanah? No, I'm just going to mention briefly, and you all know how to plug in. I love this. Maybe there could be two Dinim. You could say Achila is more of a fundamental Isser Chefta Midrabanan. No one's saying Midaraisa. Midrabanan. While Hanah is more of a regular Knas. Where would this come up? And I know Achrona have other explanations for these things. Number one, and you should know, in the Achrona, they all start with this sheet I've got to say, find one of them, Chandel Hakel or Meko. You want to know every shot about difficult kids, Hefz and Ruba. Hefz and Ruba, they say, well, maybe Bittel is Mutter Bahana'a, and find another Chandel Hakel and or Meko. Right? What about after Bittel? There's a famous Sefer Itter who says that after Bittel, it's Aser Bachila, but it's
Mutter Banah.
Also quoted by the Iri in the name of the Chachmin Lunil. I assume the Chachmin Lunil, the Sefer Etter. I think the Sefer Etter lived in Lunil, if I am not mistaken. There are many other explanations in the Achronim for the Sefer Etter. But the Pashup Shah is the Sefer Etter / Chachmin Lunil, Sefer Etter / Chachmin Lunil, who I assume that is who. I don't know, I can look up who that's nickname for. He says that, what if you did Bittel? Then it's Achila, but Mutter Bahana'a. What most of the Achronim try to do is they say, because psychologically they knew that after Bittel, this is the right kind of knas that would prevent you from not destroying it after Bittel. But it might just be no more fundamental. After Bittel, you didn't do by Ramay Matzah, you don't need a regular knas. However, it's still Chametz Shavuot Lama Pesach. And therefore, it would have an Isra Chila, and that would, I'll just mention mention one other factor. Okay, and then we'll stop. The Me'iri has a Manda Omar. Says the Me'iri, he has an interesting Manda Omar, right? There's a Yish Omar in the beginning of the Me'iri, or Havmina in the Me'iri. He says, what about Lachim? Says, maybe for Achirim, it's also for Achim. It's also for anyone to eat it. But it's Mutter Bahanda for Achirim. Okay, that would make sense. Also, you'd say, hey, you could say just psychologically, we know that to punish you, we have to make an Asra Bahanda for you and Asra Bahanda for everyone else, and that'll be enough to teach you a lesson. You don't be saying that just psychologically, we're Miss Shy and want to teach you a lesson. Because we know, Asra Achil is fundamental. The Asra Bahanda is a regular class, and this is clearly sheet of the Sefer Inter himself. The Sefer Inter himself is a radical sheet that seems to be against the few Gemaras. That all the Achronim have worked very hard to answer up on his behalf. So he's quoted in the Torah, so they all know the Shita. He says, what about Chameitz Shel Goy? Radical Shita against everyone. Everyone says, of course, Shem HaKol is Chameitz Shel Goy is Mutter after Pesach. That's the Mishnah. Chameitz of Goy is Mutter, Chameitz of Jew is Usher. Mishnah says, Chameitz of Goy is Mutter Bahanah. The Yisham says, it just means it's not Mutter Bahachil because it's trick. Having nothing to do with Pesach. But, and if you're going to bake kosher bread and you have a minute to be making a pas akum of powder, right, like most people nowadays, then it'd be okay. But here he says also asr b'achila and mutter b'hana'a. Okay, this is clearly not psychological. There's no knas of the guy. This is clearly, right, these other two shitas, you could say that there are two ways to explain these other two shitas. You could say it's Sveitinim, or you could say that no, it's just a psychological insight. Psychological insight. You could say this is Sveitinim, or you could say that it's a psychological insight. However, the Shita of the Itter himself, not what all the Achronim think the Itter says. Why? Because this Sefer Itter is quoted in the Torah. This Sefer Itter isn't. So they'll analyze this one, give psychological insight, and they don't realize he's literally saying that one, both with the Koros and Saw. But this includes Fedina. There's no Shaykh's Knas of all that comments of a guy. Why are we Koros of Goy? Goy are supposed to have comments of basis of the Goy. Goy are supposed to be Goy, and Jews are supposed to be Jews. So this clearly it's Fedina. No, there's nothing wrong with comments of a Goy, but fundamentally, there's something wrong with comments on Pesach. Even comments of a Goy, going so far, that's the rejection of Rav Bar Yaakov, or even the world and all that. But, so therefore it's Asra Achila, but the Hanah is only a regular knas, that wouldn't apply to a guy. Now you can take this back and say, even if we don't agree with the Sefer Itter, we wouldn't go so far as say there's a fundamental Isra Heft on Chametz of a guy. No, we're not going to go that far. Chametz of a guy is a different Heft than a Chametz of a Jew. But Chametz of a Jew, we can go back to these and say, maybe it's not psychological insights, that in some cases they decided if you didn't do Bittul, we need to teach you this big a lesson. If you did Bittul, we need to teach you this big a lesson. For you, we need to hit you this hard to teach you a lesson. For everyone else, we don't need to hit them this hard to teach you a lesson. No, maybe it's Beidina. Maybe, at least when the Chametz of a Jew, we could say, the Isra Achila is fundamental, the Isra Achila shouldn't exist, the Rabbana put their foot down. The Isra Hanai, you know, not the Achila shouldn't exist, I think that. At least eating Chametz on Pesach, the Chalos Isra of Chametz on Pesach, which is mostly an Isra of eating Chametz, that sticks around. That's a fundamental Isra Achila. We don't want Chametz to be eaten. We don't want it to be viewed as a food for whichever the reasons. But the Israel now is only regular class, so it could be Sveitinim. Okay, we'll have to pick up with the Gemara Mitzvah next time. And, you know, all of this, there's lots of details. So if you think about everything we had on the last two boards, you can think of lots of Nafkaminas and all kinds of interesting detailed domestic cases, which I'll leave to your devices. Okay, thank you for bearing with me. And if anyone has questions, they can ask. If anyone, you know, doesn't have questions, then they should not ask. Not today. Sorry, that was a week and a half. Okay, have a good day, everybody.
Ready?
Yes.
Just a question. With regard to Rashi, I wonder if it makes sense to suggest that for Rashi, there's a conceptual distinction that he's working with, and our Gemara is talking about that the Vedika is a kiyum in the mitzvah of Bal Yerayah Bal Yematzeh, whereas in Menachos, he's talking about a practical Vedika, that you should do a practical Vedika, which if you don't do it before the Chag, do it during the Chag, because there's still an Isur of Bal Yerayah Bal Yematzeh. So there are really two kinds of Vedika for Rashi.
Yeah.
and he wouldn't disagree.
The Rashi wants to say something along those lines, maybe not with the Rashi Menachos. He wants to say, the Bedika of the Rashi doing that here is a Kiyam and Tashbisu. There's only Kiyam and Tashbisu. There's only a Kiyam Tashbisu until Yontif. The Bedika that Rashi Menachos just practically to avoid a side problem by your not a side problem, practically to avoid this by your early Matzah.
Right.
Rashi was more of a Kiyam, and Rashi there would be more of avoiding an Isser.
Right.
The reason why I was not so attracted to that part is, and you were cheating, I'll tell you how in a second, is because A, Rashi in the Beis Mouth doesn't say it's a Kiyam Tashbisu. He says for Bayur Ablai Matze. So, like, why should we assume he's not following what he said in the Beis and Aleph? And B, Rashi thinks that the Asay of Tashbisu applies all Yontif. So then the Rav had a big finish. The Asay of Tashbisu applies for all Yontif, but it's a Kiyam, an Erev Pesach, and an Isra Asay of the rest of Yontif.
Right.
So that's big Kiddush. But if you say that big Kiddush, if you're willing to swallow A, that there's no mitzvah tashbisu during the 7 days, which is not the Pashup Shah and Rashi Daf Tzadi Hei, and B, that Rashi, because Chometz is taking into account tashbisu and not just Bar Yoreh like Matzeh, even though he didn't say them enough days, then you can give your hesber. Uh-huh. You were trying to cheat by saying a key of a Bar Yoreh like Matzeh. So that way the language of Daf Beis, but I just don't think that's fair. There is no such concept of the key of a Bar Yoreh like Matzeh.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's how I read Rashi, that's his chiddush, that the Bedika is a kiyum in Bal Yerayel Bal Yematze.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but it's a chiddush thing. It's a kiyum in Bal Yerayel Bal Yematze.
Right.
You know, that's what you missed.
Right. Okay. Thank you.